Okay. All right, so we're now Parshas Bishalach. So we are, Am Yisrael is now leaving Egypt. They're really on their way out. They're headed, they actually don't really know where they're headed, and that's probably what we're going to talk about. And yes, as they move along, eventually they hit the Yam Suf, and they get nervous, and they cry and scream. Hashem says, don't scream, just go in. And they go in, and it splits, and then the Egyptians die. We sing Isaiah here. Then they leave, they get mun, they complain. That's kind of what happens in the story. But we're going to go all that. No, I'm supposed to do that.
No, yeah. No, I know.
I'm supposed to give a
for
little.
For sure, I'm rolling my summary. Eyes at Bnei Israel. Like, he just did all these plagues.
No.
And you're going to complain about the mun?
Now you're going to feel good about Bnei Israel. Ready?
Now you're gonna feel good about them.
Okay?
I say to my daughter-in-law, Far Rockwell, if Yitzhak had to rely on mun, would he eat that?
He can make it anything that he wants. Okay, so take a look. So we're gonna start right from the beginning. Vayhi b'shalach paro sa'am. And it was as Paro sent the people. That itself is loaded. What does that mean?
Misnomer.
He sent the people. Left on their own. Okay, fine. Forget.
Fine,
but whatever. Fine. V'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishim. Hashem did not want to take the Jewish people by the way of the Philistines. Ki karofu, because it was a close way to go. That would have been whoop, right into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem didn't want to do that. Ki amar lokim, because Hashem said, pein nechem ha'am, yorosam b'chama v'shav mitzrayma. Because Hashem says, I'm nervous. Maybe, sure, whatever that means, that Hashem is nervous. That maybe, lest, perhaps, the Jewish people will change their minds when they see war and they're going to run back. Right? So he doesn't take them right into Eretz Yisrael, because if they go right into Eretz Yisrael, what are they going to have to do right away? They're going to have to fight a war right away. The conquerors, they're not ready for that.
Right.
They're not prepared to fight a war. They don't even know who they are. How are they going to do that? So Hashem says, we're not going to do the really fast route from Egypt into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to go a different direction.
I have a quick question.
Permitted.
What's the word Nacham over here in Yod Zion?
Good.
In the beginning?
So pain, it actually comes up twice.
Nacham and then Yinachem.
Right. Pain Yinachem means perhaps they will change their mind. Right? We have that language by Noach, that Hashem was
regretted
that he created man, right? By Yinachem Hashem, the language is, right? The language, so it's interesting, why is that the language of comfort usually? Nachama is comfort. So it's a change of perspective. Yeah. Right? Nachama. Yinachem is to change perspective. So in that case, Hashem changed his perspective. He felt bad that he made that choice. Here Hashem's worried, whatever that means, that the Jews will change their mind and go back.
Reconsider.
But even a person can have nechama, have comfort, because they're able to, instead of just viewing something as horrible and horrifying, they can find some sense of peace with that thing that's happened to them. They feel comforted because they change perspective. So, except that it doesn't totally work for the first time. V'lonacham Elohim is sort of like, really, the language you would use is, lead them through. Right? Nacham Elohim, give them a pathway. All right, so we have to see how that works exactly.
More like to place them.
Lead them. What? It is usually comfort, right? So but here it can mean comfort. Penny nachem ha'am, right? No, I'm saying so comfort can mean to change perspective. You can get comfort when your perspective changes.
Thank you.
Right? So
that's what
Nacham
is too.
Maybe, yeah.
You're changing it.
So, but except that the first Nacham is also a little funny, because the first Nacham is Lo Nacham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishim. Hashem didn't really take them. Right? You would say he didn't lead them through the Eretz Plishim. So, how does that work with either comfort or change perspective or regret? Doesn't really fit any of those things. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
It's kind of
maybe the perspective, the way he led them, helps their positive perspective.
Yeah, maybe. It's a little hard. Okay, yeah. Fine, but he's nervous because they're going to see war and they're going to shove him with child. They're going to go back. Fine. So, Vayasev Elokim Esa'am Derech HaMibar Yamsuf. So, right, what does he do? He puts them in a, like, Yasev Milashon Sivivon. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Sivivon comes from Yasev. But to go around, right? Derech HaMibar Yamsuf. Instead, right, Egypt is here, and Eretz Yisrael is here, right? So you couldn't go like this. Instead, he goes like this, right? To go around, right? To go into the Sinai, right? That way. So, fine. So Hashem takes them around, circumventing Eretz Yisrael, rather Derech Yam, Derech Hamibar Yam Suf. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. And the Jewish people leave Eretz Mitzrayim, or they go up from Mitzrayim, chamushim. We're going to talk about the word chamushim.
It's
what does that mean?
20%.
Okay, so good. We're gonna. I know you know the famous answers. We're gonna talk about
maybe some of us. Do.
Some of the answers. Some of us know the famous answers, so we'll see. You're never supposed to say famous, by the way. Mm-hmm. I never say that. See, now I said it. I just said it because you said it. But I never said it. There's a famous Gemara. Why? I was so happy when Rabbi Leibowitz was here. He said that idea that he was taught by someone. I was always taught that way in my speech classes in YU, and I teach it to all my students. I never say famous. Why? Famous. If you say something is famous, you've just excluded people, right? You just said it's famous to you. It's famous. And so, why do people say famous usually? Because the speaker feels uncomfortable. I'm sharing something that you know already, so it makes me not chashuv that I'm sharing something, right? So I don't say, so there's a famous Gemara that says, but don't think that I don't know that it's famous, right? So I would say, don't say that. The only reason you're doing that is to make someone feel, you know, that you're something good, something bad. You're a chashuv, or it ends up making other people feel excluded. So you say, oft quoted, whatever you want to say. Anyways, that's not the point. So, chamushim, they leave chamushim. Fine, and what happens? Vayikach Moshe etz atzmo yosef imo. Fine, I'm not going to end any more of that. Fine. One other interesting thing just to note. So we're going to talk about what chamushim means. Chamushim milashon chamesh, probably. Chamesh means
five.
They go as five. They went as fives, as fifties. What does that mean? Chamushim, what does that even mean? Okay. Also, really interesting. And we're going to see what the relevance of this is. Take a look at the first two psukim again. How are the Jewish people referred to? How many times?
Two.
Is it five? Three times.
Not five, I don't think, right?
Three.
Vayi b'shachem v'ta'am, l'chem l'okim, derech eretz v'kiro, kim l'chem v'nechem ha'am, b'yarsam v'lulu, v'asei l'chem v'sa'am, derech meretz zuf, v'chem v'shim l'u b'nei Yisrael. That's weird. What is that? Three times,
they
and then Eretz Yisrael.
They became.
Oh, I don't know, but I'm just weird, right? Funny, interesting. Ha'am, three times called Ha'am.
But what else would we call them?
Bnei Yisrael. Vayibishlach Paros Bnei Yisrael. Lanacham Elokim. Peni Nachem Bnei Yisrael. B'yarsam Mitzvah. Right? I don't know. Call them Ha'am. It's Shlach Ami B'yam Duni. The other seven is called Ha'am. I'm just
right.
Interesting.
Well, even says Ha'am is Bnei Yisrael.
Okay, that's okay, really crazy. But okay. So take a look at, but let's talk about chamushim. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi will quote us two explanations of the word chamushim, and we'll go from there. Says Rashi, v'chamushim, ein chamushim ela mizuyanim. Mizuyanim means?
Armed
with weapons. Why? Lefi shehi siban b'midbar, garam lehem sha'alu chamushim. So Rashi's putting the two together. Right, what did we just say? We said they left Mitzrayim. Hashem said, I'm not going to take them straight in because that's not going to go well. Right? They're going to go back. So rather, he took them around. And then, v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So there's a connection between going roundabout and being chamushim. So the Rashi says, because Hashem took them around, that allowed them to become chamushim. Why? She'ilu hisibam derech yishuv. If we would have taken them straight into where people the inhabited areas, lo hayu michumashim lahem koma shetricha, they wouldn't have enough weaponry they would need. Ela ka'adam sha'over b'makom l'makom u'b'da'atolik not sham mashi tzarech. Like a person who goes from place to place, like, I'll just buy it when I get there.
Right.
Right? That's not going to work well if you're trying to kill the people there. Hey, can we buy some of your arms? Can I have some weapons? That's not going to go, right?
So are
making
the arms?
This actually... To me, he started sense. Right, but it's really the opposite. It's chamushim alu. They came out And also, they were armed. They could have gone right into conquer. Like, if you're coming out with your whole, everyone's armed, you're picturing, like, the march into the...
So what's the problem with that? So what's the problem with that?
I mean, they don't do that, so there has to be a reason why they don't.
It just said they took...
Money. Good. Right. We don't know they took weapons.
Right.
And if they had weaponry, maybe they'd feel comfortable going right in.
Right. And why do they need to be armed to go into the desert?
Right, they didn't need to be. So what Rashi is doing, actually, right? This is not something we usually talk about when you talk about this famous approach. That, like, actually doesn't mean that they were armed yet.
Right.
What Rashi wants to say, it actually means that they were. they became armed, right? Vachamushim, and then eventually on their way, as Alu B'nai Yisrael Mitzrayim, they became chamushim.
So they raided towns along the way?
No, they like, let's keep reading. Let's see. If you're going from one inhabited place to another, I'll give you a mashal that some might feel related to. Some people, when they go on vacation, they say, I will only go on vacation to a place that has kosher restaurants. Because otherwise, what would I ever do? Right? I don't want to have to bring food with me. That is crazy. So I will only go places where there are restaurants. And that way, I don't bring pots and pans. I just go to those places, right? So I go from one inhabited place to another inhabited place so that I don't have to worry about here. Inhabited means inhabited by kosher restaurants. So that I can have the things that I need when I get there, right? I'm not casting aspersions, right? I've had people say, I'm not going to. And that makes sense. I want to have a relaxed time. I don't want to cook or whatever. Others go to the wilderness for vacation, maybe the wilderness of like just places where there aren't other Jewish people, maybe whatever. They may not like seeing Jewish people on vacation, let's just say, which they're not going to have kosher restaurants, and they'll have to bring with them their kelim with them, right? Bring their pots and pans and things and whatever to go with them as or their tuna fish or whatever they bring in order to have food. Good. So. That mashal resonates.
Yeah.
So here we're saying if they would have gone straight in, right? So then they'd have to like get stuff. It sounds like get things on the way, get things there. But now let's see what he says, because maybe we're not saying this exactly right. Aval kashu porish la midbar. But if a person's going to the midbar, tzarech lizamein lo kol tzarech. I'm going to Yehupitz for vacation, not going to a place that has kosher restaurants. I have to bring the things that I need. Umikre ze lo nechtav ki im neshaber es haozen. And this Pasuk is coming to, literally means to, like, prepare your ears. But we would probably say, like, whet your appetite. Or, like make sense. What does it mean? Shelo titma, you could ask a question. B'milchemes Amalek, u'milchemes Sichem v'og u'midyan. Because they're going to fight wars later. Right? They're going to fight Amalek. They're going to fight Sichon and Og. And Midyan. Mehechen hayu lehem klei zayin shehikum Yisrael b'charif. How they can have weaponry. Right? So the answer is that they actually, and this is where I think it still means, they did bring it with them. Okay, so I don't think it means, according to this pshat, as you read it further, I don't think it means that they made the weaponry once they got into the desert. But it means that they brought it with them, I think. Right? Because, let's read the top line again. I think I said it wrong before. Lefi shehi siban bamidbar garam lehem shalu chamushim. It's because they were going to go in that direction, Hashem made sure that they were armed. Right? Okay? Because if they would have gone derech yeshuv, they wouldn't need it in the same way. Right? So I think I said it backwards.
They need it because they're going past.
They're going to go out into the desert. They're going to be all by themselves. Right? So they don't have a place. They can't stop at Shloimi, the sword maker. Right? To get your swords, he's not or Sasha, the sword maker.
I think Eretz Yisrael to fight.
What's a preparation? Yeah, but it's even preparation for the wars they're going to fight in the desert. Even,
yeah.
But yes, preparation for the wars they're going to fight. But the point being, what Rashi means to say is because Hashem was taking them the roundabout way, they have no other way. They have to make sure they have the things they need. Right, so it sounds like, according to this, they did take them on the way, and that's why it is correct, being like you said, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael m'Eretz Yisrael, is they actually took them with them on the way out.
But we go into great detail of every single thing they took out of Egypt.
I don't know the great detail.
They got money, they had
cassette. Okay, so we're going to great detail also.
Right, so now,
the detail is this.
They brought
I
know, by the way, they also have weapons.
I should really get the tissues before this year.
Also, they're
down by.
I know, but I don't know. Whatever.
It's empty.
No, I just do it one time. That's it. Now I'm done.
It is the one time.
In the winter, one time. In the winter, it's one time.
It's either ending or something.
I'm okay. Okay, anyway, sorry. The bottom line is, let's just make sure we understand what you said, because I think I said it the wrong way initially. What Rashi is saying, it is because they went. Right? What Hashem said, why are we told all this? Right? We're not going to go straight in. That's going to be too scary. They won't be able to handle that. And by the way, they also went by the wilderness. So going by the wilderness, you have no place to stop to get anything. So what you have to do, you have to bring your own. Right? So apparently, one of the things they took from Egypt wasn't just gold and silver and clothing. They also took swords and bows and arrows. And yeah, I don't know. Why not?
I mean,
they can take those.
Gonna
yeah, they're going
to
need them. Fine. Good. So that's answer number one. Chamushim is they left armed. And why do you tell me this? Because otherwise you could be wondering, how did they fight these wars? The answer is they had weapons that they brought with them. Okay, nice answer. It's fine. And why does Hashem tell me? I don't know. It's a reasonable thing to say. So you understand how they were able to fight the wars. Fine. Answer number one. Davar acher.
They were in their possession while they were slaves?
No, they got them, maybe they weren't. If they had them when they were slaves, they could have revolted, right? But maybe after they were leaving, they took them from the Egyptians, presumably.
Part of the gold and silver.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Davar acher. Another thing. Chamushim. Echad mechamisha yatsu. That's part of that. It's a hyperlink, isn't it? Okay. One out of five. So they left. So chamushim can mean armed. That's a language that's used in the Torah to mean armed. But chamushim can also mean milashon chamesh. So how are they chamushim? The answer is they are one of five left. Va'arba chalakim mesu b'shloshes me'afela. And what four out of five of the Jews died in Mitzrayim? Before they left. When they died during Choshech. They died during Choshech. Fine. And that's why they're called Chamushim. They're one out of five. Rona, go for it.
Hashem keeps them alive as slaves for a couple hundred years.
Good.
And then all of a sudden during Choshech, he's going to kill them, four-fifths of them.
Four-fifths of them.
Like that?
This is like a known generally...
It's famous.
Maybe they would have done
four-fifths
in the last minute.
They were alive the whole time.
Okay, so I wasn't really going to get into the details of this per se, but we can.
Anyway, they were the ones who
were. Okay, so
let's. It's a bit of a claim to casually.
They were assimilated. Blah blah.
Good. So I'll give you two things to consider.
The level of redemption.
Yes, the tumor. We talked about.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So.
Four-fifths. I can make up the numbers.
It bothers lots of us. I don't usually use it for a drasha, but let's see why I'm not going to hate it so much. So, two things to keep in mind. First of all, Rashi mentions this last week's parsha, one of the things that happens in Choshech, he points out, why did Hashem bring Choshech of all things to bring? Because it's dark, and he's going to kill all these Jews, and he doesn't want the Egyptians to see. So they'll die during Choshech, and they'll bury them, and by the time Choshech is over, all those people are gone. Mind you, they only look a little bit challenged if they killed 80% of the population.
Who's burying it?
They probably think that like half the people left. You know, like it'd be like, right. 80%. So fine. But that's self as Akasha. Fine. But I will tell you one interesting ha'ara that I saw last week, actually, from Rabbi Yaffa Kamenetsky, who asked the question. He said... What was his question? Oh, his question was the following. He said, wait a second. All the Jews were bad. Right? And they're walking out of Mitzrayim, and they're going to cross the Yam Suf, and Hashem, and the Malachim say to Hashem, again, if we're working in Medrash land,
yeah.
Right? So let's fight Midrashim with each other. There's another Medrash that says, that as they're walking out, and they're going to the Yam Suf, and Hashem's going to kill all the Egyptians, the Malachim are like, God, Elu of the Avodah Zarah, Ve'elu of the Avodah Zarah. They're all doing bad stuff. The Jews were not big tzaddikim. So why kill these guys, and men and women, and not kill the rest of them? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says, I'll tell you why. And again, he doesn't really bring proof for this point, but it's an interesting point. He says that it's one thing you want to do a bad thing for yourself. So fine, do a bad thing. You want to do bad things, so you choose bad things. Everyone can make as a free choice. But their decision to not, what was the reason why... What the Chazal say back in last week's parsha is the reason why Hashem killed them was because they didn't want to leave. So says Rav Yaakov, if that's true, they weren't just hurting themselves. They were if you didn't want to leave, so many people didn't want to leave, what are they doing? Don't listen to him. Doesn't know what he's talking about. This doesn't make sense. He said, even in the argument, it's like, it's supposed to be 430 years. It's only been 210 years. It's not time yet. What are we doing here? Doesn't make sense. Don't listen to him. Don't follow him. Right? And that basically they were poisoning everybody else. And they were stopping everyone else from doing the right thing. It's one thing you want to do the wrong thing, but if your bad thing is going to hurt others, right, and cause others to fail, right, especially certainly as a nation, so then God says, sorry. Now I'm gonna, right, that's worse. than just doing regular averus. Regular averus are bad enough, but averus that will hurt others and cause others to sin and cause others to mess up and hurt the nation and on a national level, that already is something that Hashem says, so that's worse. And that's where I think some way. Again, we don't really, what do we do with all this? And I'm going to tell you a different shot in a second that might help a little bit. But yeah.
I guess why I'm troubled here is because I've heard on numerous occasions, why were they taken out of Mitzrayim right at this point? And, oh, they were on the 49th level of Tuma. And if they had gone one more level, they would have been beyond saving.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, that's really conveniently ignoring the fact that 80% of them
were killed.
Killed before leaving. Like, right. A lot of them did hit that 50th level of Tuma. So what, like, why didn't Hashem do it 50 years earlier? Before all those people had gotten to the 50th level of Tuma and were beyond saving.
Yeah. I don't know. And I don't think we have an answer to that question. And I think we don't really have an answer. Meaning, the other question would become, and we'll see as we say a different shot, which we're going to use this to answer. Or to help, to say a different answer to our question here, but is like it brings up the whole question, like the purpose of Medrash, right? Is the Medrash always there to teach me factual information? This is the thing that happened, or is Medrash there to teach me something, to teach me a lesson,
like you need right? Fable?
And like no, like meaning sometimes I think there's some Midrashim that are like we said the Medrash about Avram, you know, jumping in the fiery furnace. So that's quoted by the Rambam as having happened. Fine. The Rambam says that happened for sure. Not every medrash. Again, we talked about this before, I think, but like depends a little bit on your hashkafa to how much you're willing to say the thing that I'm going to say. But this one I'm not. This is not like the other thing that I said about this one's. I think a lot of people like us say this. Rabbis, you know, Talmid Chachamim. That not every medrash is meant to be taken as fact. Right? The Chazal teaches something. There's a lesson behind it. It maybe happened to a certain extent or what percentage it was, etc. But again, what's bothering the Chazal to make them say it in the first place? The language of Chamushim. It's a weird language. Mm-hmm. And what's that there for? Why are you teaching me that? So again, that doesn't make you necessarily make you feel better. I mean, it does, I guess, if it didn't really happen. But the more important question isn't did it happen or not. The more important question is why did Chazal want to tell us that?
Yeah.
Right. And there are lessons there of maybe what happens when history is taking us in a certain direction and people are fighting that. Right, we have that happen in the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? When Am Yisrael is fighting Churban and Jews interfight with each other to the extent that they were storehouses, they could have kept fighting off the Romans for many, many years. And there were those who rebelled within Am Yisrael and burned down all the storehouses so they'd be forced to fight. Right, so you have times when internal politics within Am Yisrael really impacts our ability to do the things we're supposed to do historically. Mm-hmm. We're not able to. And this is maybe an example where like, you know, there was not every, again, was it 80%? I don't know. But is it definitely true that not every Jew wanted to leave? And that there was a fight amongst them about what to do about that? Probably.
Yeah.
Actually, for sure. Yeah. If you know Jews. Right? For sure it didn't happen. There wasn't a unilateral like, oh, of course, let's all follow Moshe. Give me a break. Right, for sure, they were the chaver, like, we don't put that. This guy, you see what he wears? You see how he. Like, there's no way that everybody agreed to follow Moshe, all millions of them. Right? So that really makes a lot of sense, right? And then how did we manage that? And maybe in this case, God managed it in whatever way that he managed it. Was it 80%? Was it less? I don't know exactly. But, right? But that point, I think, is what the Medrash is trying to bring out, the danger of when we refuse to unify around someone who may not be perfect for all of us, but maybe is enough. And we wait for perfection or to be exactly like me, otherwise I'm not going to go. So maybe that is maybe more of the lesson that the Medrash is trying to teach. But we have more to but that's, don't put it aside for a second, but we're going to come back to it. Okay, good. Rashbam, source number 3, right? We want simple answer. Chamushim b'klei zayin. It means armed. Shahayu hochen li rosh es Eretz Kanan. They're going to take Eretz Kanan. Kamosh kasav lebala veomer ale eschem me'anim Mitzrayim el Eretz Kanani vechein tavru chamushim di Yoshua. Right, the language of chamushim means armed. So that's a simple pshat is armed. Less simple pshat is 1/5. I saw an approach this week that I had not ever seen, and that is approach of Kli Yakar in verse number 4. We're going to see two long pieces. Okay, in the next 15 minutes or so. Two long pieces. One of the Kli Yakar and one of the Ber Yosef. The Kli Yakar writes something so interesting. Vahi b'shalach paros ha'am. V'achach ne'amar peninachem ha'am. V'yasev elokibes ha'am. V'achach ne'amar v'achamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. We should think about this. Lama karam shalosh pamim ha'am. Why does he call them the am, the nation, three times? Ubirvi karam b'nei Yisrael. It wasn't my question. It's the Kliyakar's question. I cheated, okay? What has so interesting? I never thought about that question ever until now. Karam b'nei Yisrael etzel v'chamushim d'hainu klei zayin. Well, all of a sudden, now they're army so when they have weapons. Ukufi anire shemitzad heotam b'nei Yisrael lahitzricha klei zayin. I would have said, if the fact that they're Am Yisrael, they don't need weapons. Vishiluchel shaparo hayam mitzad hiotam b'nei Yisrael. Vimken ibcha havle lomar. Meaning, the weaponry is not that they made b'nei Yisrael. The b'nei Yisrael were b'nei Yisrael, and that's why they left Egypt without weaponry. They didn't have to fight. They didn't fight for a second. They didn't draw one sword to leave Mitzrayim. So it's bizarre. Why all of a sudden now, v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. All of a sudden b'nei Yisrael because they're chamushim. What is it really going on here? V'nir li yashav ze b'shnei panim. And I could answer this in two ways. Ha'echadu, al derech shemasik b'yakut, the Yakut the Medrash says, v'chamushim alu, ein chamushim ela mezuyanim b'chamisha klei zayin. They are armed with five weapons. The kasha al ze, v'chim yilchamtan sheyisot t'luya b'riboy klei, they have a lot of weapons? That's weird. Okay? That's a strange thing. So let's skip down to the next line, next paragraph. Al kei nir lefarish, sheba lehodienu shelo haya b'yadam shum klei zayin. This is not mean. Weapons. Okay? Ki'im chamisha chumshei Torah. Chamushim, milashon, chamesh. Chumish.
But they didn't get this.
Ah, okay. Good. He knows that. Okay. He's an answer.
Along
and he points out, achalokin the shiva svarim, because it's split up into seven sometimes. It depends on you. Fine. And then it's bolded down there. Oh, chamushim hainu chamisha chumshei Torah kamur, umuzuyanim hainu hatfila. Okay? Meaning that they have chumish. They have tefillah. These are their klei zayin. This is the weapons of the Jewish people. Okay. Now go where it has a little star next to it. Vine. Me hayidua shalohayu Yisrael ru'in lekabel haTorah. We know the Jewish people are not ready to get the Torah yet. Ki im achar sha'avru b'yamsuf. Va'achar sha'achu b'midbar. Right? Hashem was not ready to give the Jewish people the Torah right away. Meaning, he didn't say like, hey, shvita har Sinai. They could have. They didn't do that. Didn't have to, by the way, just to be clear. You don't have to cross the Red Sea to get from Egypt to Eretz Israel. It's not necessary. I assumed as a kid. Mm-hmm. The Red Sea must be the thing that separates Egypt and Eretz Canaan. It's totally not true. Right? You can just go right around. You don't need it at all. Hashem did it on purpose, right? So they weren't ready to get the Torah until they crossed the Yam Suf and traveled in the Midbar. Why keep a Yam Suf by the day Emuna Shlema Bashem? Right, it was at that moment at the Yam Suf where they came to believe fully in Hashem and the Nevu of Moshe. How do I know? Kamosha Nemar, Vayaminu Bashem, Moshe Avdo, says it in the laning of the Kriyas Yam Suf. At that moment, they finally believed in Hashem and Moshe. Okay? Because they saw the dynamic. Hashem talks to Moshe, Moshe splits the sea. Right? By the way, they may not have all seen. We watch Moshe do all the plagues.
Yeah.
They're not all there. When that happens, it's only at Yam Suf that all of Am Yisrael watches this thing happen. Fine. The Kodim Shabbat of the Emunah, but before they had Emunah, Pshita Shalahayru in the Kabbalah Torah, they couldn't get the Torah. Kozman Shahayu Misupakim, Benevuas Moshe Bumuna Bashem. As long as they don't believe in Hashem or believe in Moshe, they can't get the Torah, which, by the way, is such an interesting point. You want to teach Torah to somebody? There's a certain assumption that has to be made if you're going to learn Torah. That is, that God wrote it. And that Moshe is a Navi. And that everything that Moshe wrote down, it came from Hashem. If you don't have that assumption, it's not going to make any sense. You can ask a million questions. That's biblical criticism and what it's all about. Right? This question, that question, good questions. Because you don't believe that Hashem wrote it. If you don't believe it's divinely written by God, every word, and that every word that Moshe written came from Hashem, then you can have a gazillion questions. Just an important point. Like, it's not like it makes perfect sense. It has to start with a sense of Emunah. Because without it, you can't, then... There's a million questions that can come afterwards. He's saying that, but not saying it. But he's just saying, that's why they have to go in order. They need to have Emunah and Hashem, and they need to have Emunah and the Nevu of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'achar shabau al yam suf lidei Emunah zu, me'az hayrun lekevel ha-Torah. Fun, then they can get the Torah. V'yutzrich and od lelech ba-midbar. Oh, and they also had to go in the Midbar. Be'aretz lo zaruba. Liknot shama midas histapkus. They needed to experience living like with very little. To have the midah of enough, enoughness. I can live with very little. Why? Kikach darker shel Torah pasva melech tochal. Fascinating. That's the approach of Torah. It's like, I don't need so much. I just need spirituality. I get basics, my basic physical needs. Fine. And that's why the Torah says, lo nitna Torah ala ochle haman. Hashem gave the Torah to Chazal, say this, that Hashem gave the Torah specifically to people who eat man, meaning people who just deal with their basic physical needs, because then they can focus on spirituality. Fine. But the point is, now skip down when it says, where it's bolded, vihinei kodem shekiblu Yisrael ha-Torah, hayu bechlal shar ha'am. Until they got the Torah, they were like any other nation. V'lo nivdilu adayim b'shleimus hamayuchad lahem, min shar ha'umos. And they weren't really that different than any other nation. You say, what do you mean? They're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But at the end of the day, what makes us Am Yisrael is Torah.
But they were monotheistic, not everybody.
They were monotheistic, but so are Muslims, and so are Christians, and so are, right? There's a lot of monotheists. We weren't that different. We were different still then. You're right. We're still different then than other nations.
They said that Abraham had a say that he served Muslims.
You're true? No. Okay, yeah. But no, you're right. They didn't have the Torah yet. But until they had the Torah, they weren't yet Am Yisrael. But Am Yisrael is supposed to be. They were children. They were the B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but they weren't yet Am Yisrael until they had Torah. Okay.
Yeah, but then wasn't it in the previous parsha where it says, the designation for this, the Zos HaChodesh and everything?
Correct. They had gotten mitzvos already, but they weren't fully there yet. It's a good point, but they weren't fully there yet. Al kein lo nikru b'shem b'nei Yisrael, ki im ayadei kabbalah satorah, az hivdilam Hashem mikol amim liyos lo la'am sekula. That's when Hashem, once we got the Torah, that's when Hashem says, attempt Yuli Mamechas Kohanim V'goy Kohanim. It's through Torah that we have the uniqueness of Am Yisrael. Only through Torah. Am Yisrael without a Torah is nothing. In fact, the Gemara says that Hashem says to us, I'd rather you forget about me and keep my Torah. Why?
How can you divorce the two?
So how can that be? What's the answer? The answer is, because if we have Torah, we'll eventually get back to Hashem. If you forget Torah, if the Torah is forgotten... Then we'll never get to Hashem. Right? He says Hashem says, better forget me and keep the Torah, because eventually through Torah you'll get back to me. But if you forget Torah, then you lose your identity. You're not, again, we believe a Jew, if they do every aver in the world, they don't have any Torah, they're still considered a Jew, of course. But in terms of our identity of a Jew without Torah, it's cultural Judaism. It's not really who we are. Right? And we're seeing so many people, right, even now, right, starting to recognize that difference. That without Torah, I don't feel like I fully, figuring out who I am as a Jew. So what? That explains the pasuk. Ready? Ubazeh yebiur hapsukim ma'ofenze. Vahi b'shalach paros ha'am, b'shah shiluach nikru adayim b'shem am. When they left Mitzrayim, they were just called an am. Okay? And what happened? They didn't have anything different. And they didn't have the Kli Zion. They didn't have their weapons yet. Okay? Nothing. Lafikach, which underlined, Lafikach lo nacham osam elokim derech eretz plishtim. So why didn't Hashem send them to the derech eretz plishtim? Af apisha karofu, kemar elokim peninachem ha'am, yorsam mechama. They're not going to know what to do when they hit war. Lafisha adayin heima bechlal yeser amei aret. They don't feel uniquely Jewish yet. Al kein behechrech yeshuvim mitzrayim. They didn't go back. Ki ba'achar she'em biyadam shum kli zayin pshitesh yu minutzachim im lo yeshuvu. They don't have their weaponry, then they're gonna lose. Al Kain Vayasev Elohim Sa'am Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf. So there for Hashem took them to the midbar. Ki ade nisei hayam va'amidbar yiknu emuna shleima. Va'az yu muchanim l'kabel haTorah. Through that process, they're gonna become ready, have emuna, and be able to accept the Torah. Umishahi yiye kli zainam aleihem, and then they're gonna have their weaponry. Via doma ki ilu kvar kiblu haTorah. Meaning they didn't have a Kabbalah Torah yet, right? They just went to the Yom Suf. Once they do, they're prepared. V'yunikra'im az b'shem b'nei Yisrael havdila min shara me'aratzos. Now they're called Am Yisrael separate. V'zeh sha'amar v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael ein chamushim ela mezuyanim v'chamisha klei zayin. Hanu hei chum shei Torah. Meaning, at that point, now they are different and ready for the experience. And drop down where it is, bolded again. Lefisha miyak kasher nisratzu lelich lamidbar v'lo amru heich nelech lamidbar. They could have said, we're not going to go. But once they agreed to go, they could have said, what do you mean? Lo malkom zera miyak kat miyad kanu amuna. The moment they left, Hashem says, okay, now you're following me. You cross the Yamsuf, and now you're going. Let's go, guys. Time to go deep into the desert. And they said, okay. They didn't get the Torah yet, but now they're ready. And since they're ready, it's kiddu, it's theirs already. Lekach nemer v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. Haynu bizman sha'alu me'eretz Mitzrayim el ha-midbar, v'sof kinin ha-muna haya al-yamsuf kamur. So he wants to argue, chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim means they left eventually, after they went through this whole process, with their identity as Jews. The weaponry they would need forever, which would be that chamushim v'chumish, the Torah that they would need to get them through life. Okay. But I want to show you one other idea. And this is very long, so I'm going to summarize it. Because the top of source number 5, the Bar Yosef of Yosef Tzvi Salant, died in 1981, but he was a student and came from the family of Yisrael Salanter. And he quotes two different midrashim. Talking about Yonasan ben Uziel, the Kochad im Chamishat Tafla, different shah. What do you mean, Chamushim? Everyone had 5 children. Okay. Chamushim, every family had 5 kids. That possible? That's not, I mean, it's possible, but it'd be pretty surprising.
Pretty unlikely,
okay? Next, talking about Yerushalmi, Mizainin Be'uvda Tava. B'nai Yisrael left with good deeds. Okay, Kashan, good deeds. Why did they not leave with good deeds? Halalu Avdi Avarazar, Halalu Avdi Avarazar. They were not 49 left Latuma. So the Bar Yosef says an amazing, amazing prayer. I'm not going to read it in a second, it's too long. But he basically says the following. He says, we said that, you know, everybody left Mitzrayim, and what happened? 1/5 left. 1/5, because the other 80% were killed. Who was killed? Only the adults.
Well, the children stayed alive.
The children weren't killed. The children didn't do anything wrong.
And they all had 5 children.
No. So what happened was, he says, close, but he says what happened was, you had 4/5 of Am Yisrael, the parents died. And the children were still left there. Their parents had died. So what happened? V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. Every single family left with 5 times the amount of children as they initially had. If they had 1 child, what did they do? They took 4 other kids who were left without parents, and they took them, and they took the 4/5. They're the 1/5. They took the children of the 4/5 with them.
4/5 of the adults died. For all the adults.
Yeah. 4/5 of the adults died.
Okay, I thought all of them
died.
Right.
No.
And then the remaining
4/5 of the adults died. Here's the math, right? 1/5 of Amisal is full.
Oh my gosh.
4/5 died. But who dies? Children died. Chalil, but they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do a very, they're too young. They're not held responsible. So he says, it's terrible and beautiful at the same time. So he says that what happened was 4/5 the adults died, but there was these children left. So chamushim means that add four pieces to your fifth. You have 5/5 now, right? But every single family took in 4/5 more children to their family. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. According to this, I understand both midrashim. Right? B'nai Yisrael left. Everyone with 5 children. Doesn't mean they had 5 children. What does it mean? It means they had 5
times.
5 over 1, whatever, right? 5 mm-hmm. times the number of children that they initially had. And what does it mean they left with good deeds? They didn't have good deeds. They were doing averos. The answer is, what was the good deed? Adopting other people's children.
That's cute.
It's wild. And he says, according to that pshat, now I understand a different pshat. And we say a pasuk about Am Yisrael when we left Mitzrayim. What do we say? So plus it's a song they sing at Shalosh Shadis. So we say, Zachartu la chesed nu raich. Hashem says, I remember your chesed. Lechtech acharai b'mibar b'eretz olo zavruvat. You follow me into the desert. So usually we say the chesed that they did for Hashem. Hashem says, what a chesed. You follow me into nowhere. He says, that's not the pshat. I Zachartu la chesed nu raich that you did in the midbar was what? Taking care of all these kids who are not your own child. You took them in and they were your children. In that sense, he says, that's the chamushim, was that this extra chesed that Am Yisrael did at that moment to bring all of these people in, which is totally insane and wild. And I'll say the same thing about it, right? Does it mean that 80% of the people died and those 80% of children were taken in by all of Klal Yisrael? Maybe. Or it means that whatever percentage, there were some children, right, whose parents didn't make it out. And then what Am Yisrael did was people did the most, it's one thing, he writes this more in detail. He says, it's one thing to take, you know, you're going on, he says, you're going on a vacation and you take another kid along. And that's nice. That's a chesed. That's nice. So take this boy along. He doesn't have parents. He doesn't have a parent, whatever. His mom has to work and he can't go on trips. So we'll take him with us to Disney. That's beautiful. It's so nice, right? That's one thing. It's another thing when you are exiled from somewhere. You have nowhere to go. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. And you say, let's take, you know, Shmuley with us also. That's a much harder, you yourself don't know what you're doing and where you're going. And you take someone with you, that's an extraordinary chesed. Mm-hmm. It's a very different type of chesed. So he says, with this, we can explain both of those other midrashim, right? The good values, the good deeds they take with them, and the five children, right? What's the midrash trying to teach me? That they were people who stepped up in that moment and helped somebody else and took someone else's children in on their way out of Mitzrayim. And the most kind of like difficult, again, this wasn't like, you know, there weren't fireworks and it looks great in the Prince of Egypt, but it was hard. Lachara. These things are always hard.
There's also a difference in when you're housing people who need the help,
right,
as opposed to the
your friends
who
are just right. 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 Is the person knocks on your door on Erev Shabbos. I'm lost. I don't know where to go. I can't get to Pseyek and I'm in Tinek. What?
Does that come from
there? I don't know if it comes from here, but that is the real definition. Achnas Zorchem for real, right, is I take, it's nice to also have your friends. It's also nice. But that's also important. We make people feel welcomed and they have camaraderie. There's a lot of value in that. But the next level is people with whom you're not friends, who just need it, and you give them a place to be. That is extraordinary. That's the real level. That's the high level. So this is a different pshat in Chamushim, but it builds on the challenging pshat that we started with. So take it or leave it. Two pshatim, right? Either the Chamushim. We have a regular Chamushim was armed. Second shot is Chamushim is, you know, the Kliyakar, that it was some type of like spiritual arming, right? That they went through this process of leaving Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. The way Hashem took them was on purpose to get them armed to be ready for life as a Jew, right? Which you could only do once they had all those experiences, Kriyas Yamsuf, etc. And the third shot, which is maybe the most difficult, but also leads, I think, in a certain sense, most beautiful, this opportunity for, on the one hand, that people, there were people who didn't leave because they were hurting the rest of Am Yisrael and they were killed, but their children weren't. And they were left. And so what happens? They actually took them along with them, that they should be a part of their family as they took them out. I think the one thing that I think is important is we think all the time like, what do you mean? It was so easy in the desert. They had man and they didn't have to have a job and they just had the Anaya Kavod. Like, I don't think it was so easy.
It doesn't sound so easy. You ever took that Jeep trip through?
It's not so easy. I'm just like, and that pasuk, Komar Hashem, Zechayt Lachesed Chesed Nurach Lechtech Harai BaMidbar. Hashem remembers the Chesed, however you want to say the pshat of following the Midbar. It's not dumb. It's hard. I don't know about anybody else. Like, you go away for a few days, and you get home, and you go into your own bed. It's like, right, it's nice to be in a hotel, but I don't know. You want to be in your own bed. They weren't in their own beds for most of the rest of their lives,
right?
40 years of wandering around. It's very hard. And I think it's like a cartoon sometimes in our heads. Like, it's, you know, so we don't like think about it as real people. It's a very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to remind ourselves when we get on Klai, so this is to help you, Rona, because we always defend Am Yisrael. When we get on them sometimes, we're complaining and fetching. I don't know. If I was living in a, you know, trailer park, you know, driving around, not on a whatever you call it, an RV, you know, driving around for 40 years, and that'd be hard. It'd be a hard life. And I think that it's not that simple. And to feel that they just lived this utopian life, that everything was fine, it was actually quite a challenge to them, which I think is important also because this was Geula. And we think of Geula as like, everything's great.
Yeah.
Geula's hard.
It's also weird if you think about like what your day normally looks like. You have a routine, you have something you do every day, and like that in some ways gives you a sense of purpose. And obviously like being able to serve Hashem without distractions and whatever is such a greater sense of purpose. But like, imagine for your whole life, you got up and you worked and you worked and you worked and you worked and you ate, and then you got home and you slept with your family and you got back to work. And it's like when people retire, like you get up and you're like, what
do I do now?
What do I do?
Right, what do they do every day? Mm-hmm. They learn, whatever. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not simple. It's not, the very least is not simple. And when we think about like criticizing Am Yisrael in the desert, I think it's important to remember like this was hard.
Yeah.
This was complicated. And you know, the work they put in those moments, I think are to be appreciated and respected, because it's not simple to follow Hashem in the Midbar.